that you would speak to us, and God, that you would bend our ear to what you would want to say to us, and it would also bend our hearts and our attitudes and our change and our own lives, God. We thank you, God. We receive instruction this morning, and help us to apply that instruction in our lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So this is the last in the series, and this is going to be kind of a recap of all the stuff that we've talked about. Hang on, these are all out of order. Oh, my Lord. Oh, boy. Wow, this is going to make a great recording. I keep forgetting I'm always being recorded. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay, so we have talked about staying connected. Our scripture that we've been using is John 15. John 15 and verse 4 says this. This is Jesus talking. He says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit in and of itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, so often that we try to do our lives, and as we talked about in this series, we've talked about the fact that so often in our lives, even as Christians, we kind of go through our lives just doing the deal, right? Just living the life and maybe even doing all the right things, and we don't, you know, we don't drink too much. We try not to cuss too much, you know, and all that other stuff. We try to live a good example, and we, you know, whatever. We do all that stuff. But the truth is, in some of our lives, we just kind of do it, especially for us who've been believers for a long time. If we're not careful, we can just do it just out of, that's just how we do things, you know. You know, I don't cuss anymore just because I don't cuss anymore, right? I don't do this because I just don't do this anymore, you know. And you kind of do it, but it's robbed of the real presence and power of God. It's just kind of like this, this is what I do. But what we need to do was we need to be people that are plugged in. We stay plugged in to the power of God. Stay plugged in to His power and His presence. And the way, you know, we talked about, you know, the way that vine works, right? We talked about that the vine gets its nutrients by the trunk of that tree. And when we pull that trunk off, man, maybe there's still greenery on those leaves after a while. But after a while, those leaves start to wither and they start to dry up. And that's what happens to us. We kind of do our lives and we just go through our lives and maybe we haven't really plugged in like we should. And we start to wither up and we kind of, you know, a few weeks into it, a month or two into it, we're like, oh, I'm just exhausted. We get discouraged and we wonder why. And the truth is, it's because we're not plugged in like we need to be. And so we've talked about how do you stay plugged in. And the first thing we talked about was humility. Humility. And actually, that subject of humility kind of goes through this whole course of all the things that we've talked about. Staying humble. And we've talked about the fact that, you know, it's not God's job to humble you. It is our job to humble ourselves. The scripture says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, He will lift you up." It's our job to humble ourselves. And I will tell you, it's easier for you to humble yourselves, but God will do it for you. He will help you in that. There will be times that you will be humbled. You will be brought to your knees, as they say, right? I don't know about you, but I would rather do that on my own. Right? I would rather do that on my own. Your children, whenever you discipline your children, it's like, you know what, just go ahead and clean your room, because you will clean your room one way or the other. And I promise you it'll be a lot easier for you if you clean your room when we don't have to ask you to do it, right? So it's the same way in our spiritual walk. If I can bend my knee first, right, let me be the person. Let me humble myself before God. And the cool thing is God's power is available for you, because the idea is you are plugged in, you are connected to the vine when we humble ourselves. One of the greatest ways to humble yourselves is the next thing we talked about is prayer. We made this statement, the devil doesn't care how much you know about prayer, he cares how much you pray. We talked about Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything. And that's a tough scripture. Do not be anxious about anything. We talked about the subject of worry and how worry affects us, and how the opposite of worry is prayer. What do you do? You don't just worry. Worry never, Jesus said, hey, you're worrying about your stature? Never changed anything. Your worry about this never changed anything, but prayer changes things. Submit your request to God, right? Do not worry. We said this. Don't worry, pray. Because God works through prayer. We said a lot of things about that. But the next thing we talked about is the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration. And we talked about the subject of covenant. And covenant is a unpopular word in our culture. Covenant means simply this. When you enter into covenant with somebody else, it means this, that you basically, that everything that the two people that enter into that covenant, whatever that person owns belongs to the other person. So you cannot ask that other person. When Julie and I, we got married, when we got married, everything that she had now belongs to me because we believe, my wife and I, we believe in covenant relationship. The marriage is not just an agreement, right? It's not just a contract, right? That if you break those raw laws, they can be broken. We believe that marriage is a covenant, that I've made covenant with my wife. So now everything, that she can't demand anything from me that I shouldn't be willing to give to her, right? And the same way it goes both ways. Because we're in covenant relationship. That's the word covenant, right? We have a covenant with each other. Marriage covenant, right? And so when we have a covenant with God, the awesome part about that is that everything God has, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? Unlimited power. God has unlimited power, right? He has unlimited resources. All those resources belong to me because I'm in covenant. Jesus said, He goes, behold, I'm giving you a new covenant purchased with His own blood, right? We're in covenant relationship. Covenant is not just the way we talk about the Bible. It's split up the Old Covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. The word testament just simply means it has the idea of Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jesus came and established a new covenant by His blood, but it's still a covenant relationship purchased by His own blood. And so now everything God has belonged to me, but here's the rub. Everything that you have and I have belongs to God. There's nothing God can ask of us that's too much. Because He's God and we're in covenant. But the cool thing is, there's nothing more I can ask from God. There's nothing limited that I can ask from God. You know, that God will provide all my needs. Why? Because we're in covenant, right? And so we talked about that, and that covenant is we really like to hear about how God provides all of our needs, but you know what? The truth is, God wants us to do His will here on the earth, right? So, we'll leave that alone. Don't get many amens talking about covenant. Praise Jesus. But I'm telling you, it's awesome. The more I live in covenant, and more I hold up, and more I live in my responsibilities of God as covenant, the more, you get it? Yes, thank you, Julie. All right. That was terrible. All you ADD people, relax. Relax, it's going to be okay. Sometimes it's all right to have stuff all over. It's going to bother me, though, actually. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's okay. Don't get up. Nobody get up and fix it. Okay. All right. That was just fun. All right. Oh, yes. Yeah, it was. It was awesome. It felt really great. So then we talked about last week, and the way we're going to end it, we talked about worship. You know how you say plugged into God? Be a person of worship. Be a person that worships God. And we talked about the worship as a feeling of expression or reverence and adoration to God. The worship of God. We showed that crazy video. Remember that? For the singles, you singles in here, and how do you handle a worship service when you got your girl that you love? How do you go all the way, all praise Jesus, or you kind of go, what are they doing? That kind of stuff. So we talked about that last week. We talked about the truth is, there's a lot of mainstream things that are in worship today, which is not a little bit of my age. I turned 48. I'm turning 48. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of you are guys, you know what? The truth is, some of you in here are going, oh my God, that's old. And some of you are going, oh my God, that's nothing. Man, you're just starting, brother. And I feel like it too, man. I feel like I'm just starting. Here we go. But we talked about, When I first came in 20 years ago, it's more than 20 years ago now. It's 27 years ago now. 27 years ago, when I fully gave my heart over to the Lord when I was 21 years old, man, I started going to one of those hand-raising churches, right? You know what I'm talking about. If you're over 40, maybe it's like, you understand what back in the day when it was like that hand-raising church, right? The hand-raising church was just a niche below like the snake-handling churches, right? It was kind of in that kind of area where you're just like, oh my goodness. And for you, how many of y'all remember? You remember those days? How many of y'all, hey, raise your hand? Some of you younger people are going, oh, really? It was weird to raise your hand. Yes, it was weird to raise your hand in churches back in the day. And so, but I remember I started going to one of those hand-raising churches, and the pastor of that church really talked about worship. He taught us that to worship means this. And I remember as a young single guy, that's weird. That worship, that the word worship actually means to move forward as to kiss. And I was like, whoa, that's awkward but deep, right? Right? But it's that's the attitude of worship as you move toward God with a sense of love and adoration, right? And that love. It says, the scriptures talked a ton about worship. It talked about that, therefore, since we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Psalms 100 says this. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and He has made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. That heart of worship, just being expressed by that Psalms right there, and just the heart of worship of God. And so we talked about how that worship is the attitude of the heart. And that was kind of our main point last week. And we talked about the thing that we got to be careful as a hand-raising church that we are now. We got to be careful as a church that we are now that we don't just say, hey, look, that person, just because their hands are raised, they must be worshiping God. Or somebody who, you know, whatever their outward expression, we'll talk about some outward expressions here in a minute, but some of those outward expressions, we got to be careful that just because somebody raised their hands means they're worshiping God. And just because somebody has their hands in their pockets means they're not worshiping God. We got to be really careful that we don't fall in line with that trap. Because listen, the person that has their hands in their pockets and they're just loving on Jesus, and they're just worshiping God out of their heart, man, that's honorable to God. Whereas the person that's actually true worship to God, even more so than the person that just has their hand raised thinking about what they're going to have for lunch after the service, right? And we've all been there, right? We talked about that. We've all been there. Jesus said a time is coming, like we talked about last week. A time is coming, and now is that the true worshipers, if there can be true worshipers, that means there can be not true worshipers, right? So if Jesus says, hey, look, this is what true worshipers look like, those who worship God in spirit and in truth. And that really, down to the core of what that spirit and truth means, it means worshiping God with a sincerity of your own heart to God, right? It's a sincerity of your own heart to God. Jesus calls true worship. So just because you have your hand raised, just because you're singing some songs, just because there's some words coming out of your mouth, does not necessarily mean that you are really worshiping God. So we got to be careful in how we quote-unquote, judge each other. Or just not judge at all. How about that? Right? Just you do you. Right? Can we be free in here and just you do you? Right? As long as you're not disrupting the whole place and whatever. I mean, we're going to have decency and order. But listen, in your own house, whatever. Right? Just worship God. Worship God. And let me tell you something. God takes worship seriously. He takes the worship of God. This is not even in my notes. Yes, I got time. God takes worship seriously. There was, remember the story of David. The Bible says that David was up on his, he was up on his roof, right? And he, I don't know how this all works in that culture, but somehow or another, he didn't have any clothes on. And he was worshiping God. And he was just going at it, just worshiping. I know you're freaked out, and that's all you're going to hear from this whole service, is David worshiped naked. Not this David. Lord Jesus. Oh, my gosh. All right. And such ends today's sermon. I am going to sell. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Woo, woo. How do you get past that? Stick with the notes. Stick with the notes. But listen. Let's just say that God, listen, when David's wife messed with him and said, "What are you doing? You're the king. Don't you be getting all crazy like that." And you know what? God, the Bible says that God shut up her womb and she never had any more kids. Listen, God loves your pure heart worship to him. And don't mess with it. And don't mess with people when they worship. Because God takes it seriously when somebody, because that's what we were made for. Yes. We were made to worship God. We were made to honor God. We were made to come into to relationship with him. And God takes it seriously. And God takes even expressive worship seriously. We talked about two types of worship last week. We talked about lifestyle worship. We talked about lifestyle worship. We talked about the phrase coram Deo. Coram Deo. Hopefully this week you've been thinking about that phrase, coram Deo, as you've gone through your life and your daily stuff and the way you deal with your spouse and you deal with your kids and the way you perform on the job and the way you go out into community and you represent Jesus. We live coram Deo. That word coram Deo is Latin for in the presence of God. That we live our lives in the presence of God. And as we live our lives and we honor, maybe you honor your boss or you employers, you honor your employees. You honor them and you live your life coram Deo, because I do this as worship to you. The integrity that I live is not just integrity for integrity's sake, but integrity so that I can honor God with how I live. And that word is coram Deo, that I live coram Deo. I live my life and my family coram Deo, is in the presence of God. You know, I know that one day that I'm going to be judged by how I treated my family, how I treated my wife, how I treated the people around me. God holds me accountable to how I treat other people. He holds you accountable for how you treat other people. So we live our lives coram Deo in honor and worship to God. And I'm actually learning more and more in the class that I'm taking with Etta that it's important on how I even treat my body. How do I treat my body that God's given me? And I treat my body and I'm concerned about what I eat, and it's coram Deo, it's how I honor God with how I live in my body. And let me just tell you, these classes that we're doing, we're planning on these, the financial class that we're doing and the health and wellness class. Let me just say, these classes aren't going away from our church. And we're going to continue to do them. We're planning on doing them again in the fall. Because I want this stuff to get, the two places that the enemy will attack you most will be in your finances and in your health. And we need to be people that live coram Deo in the presence of God. How we handle our finances, how we handle our bodies. Moving on. And we talked about the fact that, you know, we live our lives and we compartmentalize our lives, and we talked about our religious life and our non-religious life. There's no such thing as a believer. It's all wrapped in together. with our lives. And then we talked about worship as a lifestyle, and then we talked about worship as an activity. And we said last week that worship, first of all, is not music. Worship is not music. The truth is, and I know I made the worship team kind of angry, John's looking at me like he's shooting some daggers at me right now. But you know what? The truth is, in your own personal life, you don't need worship. You don't need music to worship. Your heart to God. We talked about the 10 lepers. And Jesus healed the lepers. They went away, and one came back. The Bible said he fell to his feet and worshiped Jesus. And Brian Jardine wasn't even there to lead him in worship. I don't know how that guy did it. But he did it out of a heart of gratitude. I know, it's amazing. Out of a heart of gratitude to God because of what Jesus had done for him. And that worship was heart-related. And we're going to get into some other things. So, that's what we talked about last week and through this series. Today, I want to talk about, here we go. We're going to talk about 9 ways to worship and 8 benefits to worship. We can do this. Here we go. We're going to do them quick. Ways that we can worship. And there's others and there's all kinds of stuff, but these are what I'll just say what God gave me. So you can deal with that on your own. How worship can be expressed. First of all, it can be expressed by your speaking. Psalms 34, verse 1 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. What does that look like? That looks like, God, I just love you. I appreciate you so much. God, I honor you for what you've done for me. I give you praise, and you're so worthy. God, I give you my heart. I honor you above all things. God, you're first in my life. Everything else, you know, you're only in my life, and everything else falls under that, God. You know, you just worship God out of your mouth, and you just speak it out of your mouth. Number 2, and these aren't in any particular order, it's not progressively deeper in worship, okay? These are just different ways, right? Another way is shouting. Shouting. Yeah, that's right. Psalms 27, verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me at his tabernacle. I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. He talks that there's many times where they would give up a shout to the Lord. You know, sometimes it's good to give up a shout. You go, man, sometimes there's some people in this church that just shout. I want you to know that that's a godly expression of what God. Sometimes God is so great on the inside of you. Things are stirring so much on the inside of you. Man, it's just nothing but a, you know, I don't know. If you're in Texas, it's a yee-haw. If you're down here, it's a woo, you know, or whatever. I guess if you're a wrestling fan, it's a, you know, what's his name? Ric Flair. If you're a Ric Flair fan, woo, you know, you give one of those things. But it's all a shout to God. It's an expression of stuff that's on the inside of you. And let me just say about emotion. Some people criticize the people who are, you know, let me just say, emotions are good. Emotions are good. And you can use your emotions in worship. And just because you're using emotions, I mean, people say it all the time, that was just an emotional expression. Well, yeah, exactly right. Yes. You know what? I heard one time somebody that stuck with me forever. It was actually Mark Dover's dad. He told me, he said this from the pulpit one time. He said, you know what? God gave you your emotions to enjoy yourself, to enjoy other people, and to enjoy him with. Your emotions are good. Now your emotions can run crazy and keep those emotions under check, right? Those weird emotions, those fearful emotions, all those other kind of emotions, those anger emotions, all those kind of stuff. But you know what? You have emotions, and it's okay to be emotional in your worship. Sometimes, you know, so it's like people say, well, you know, I was in worship, and I just started crying. And God just, and everybody goes, oh, that's so sweet, that's amazing. And some people say, I was in worship, and I just had to shout. And somebody goes, well, that's wrong. It's emotions. And God will stir you, and it'll come out in emotions. And let me just say, it's okay. It's okay. You can. It's fine. It's fine. Just to, it's, if you want to shout, if you want to. Well, I'm going to get into it. Shouting. Say shouting is okay. Say if it's okay with God, it's okay with me. All right, number three, singing. This is an obvious one. Psalms 47, verse 6, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. I think what he's trying to say is sing praises, right? Sing your worship, and I'll get into a little bit more of that in a minute. Our posture, how about this, bowing down. We can come, Psalms 95, verse 6, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Sometimes I'll be in worship, and I can't, there, something comes over me, and I'll just think about how God is just King and Lord, and it'll just cause me just to drop to my knee and just go, God, you are, and almost as a sign of reverence, say, God, you are God, and I'm not. God, I honor you. I worship you for who you are. And let us come and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now, let me just say, in this church, if you want to, during worship, if you want to come down to the altars, you want to come down to the front and kneel down, or you want to kneel down at your seat, you're welcome. You're welcome. Standing, your posture, you can be standing. My flesh trembles in the fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. Number three, dancing. Dancing. Dancing is good. Psalms 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with a tambourine and harp. You know what? Let's praise his name with dancing. It's okay to dance. It's okay to move, right? It's okay to express yourself. And when the, you know, I don't know what it is, like every other music should move you, but evidently Christian music and worship music, you should just move. You can move. I'm not going to demonstrate. Oh, yeah. You can do the hitch. You can do it right here. I'm just staying right here. Just stay right here. Some of you just need to stay right here with Jesus. You and Jesus right here. They don't need none of this. You don't need none of that. Don't need to make a pizza. They don't need no pizza. Right? I did it. Okay. That's how I got my wife, is my amazing dancing skills. Let him praise his name with dancing. It's okay. It's okay. You can dance. Dance before God. Our church is not going to be the footloose generation. Or the, anyway, never mind. I was trying to think of the guy's name. What's the guy's name? Kevin. No, the guy who went in the movie. Ren. Yeah. Hey, if Ren thinks it's okay to dance, so it's okay with me. All right. No, it's okay. Dancing is good. Dancing is good. Our hands, what we do with our hands, you can play music, play instruments. These guys, when they're up here, let me just from a retired bass player. They don't let me play anymore. That's right. Thank you, sir. There is no such thing. Once a bass player, always a bass player. But my son is taking up bass. My son learned the Pink Panther the other day. He's, I like crying. It's great. My son has learned how to play bass. But I remember whenever I used to play, I played in worship teams forever. I played with Ken years ago. I played with Ken. And because Ken plays guitar, just saying. Sorry, Ken. No, but Ken is retired. No, it's all good. But anyway, oh my gosh. Stay with my notes. Stay with my notes. Okay, so play music. I remember playing music, and I would. This is way, for me, I would just sit there, and I would play my bass, and I was like, God, I can't sing and play bass, so how am I going to, you know, that was always the question. Like, how do I play bass with concentrating on the notes and all that stuff? You know what I used to do? I used to say, God, I used to picture myself just as me and Jesus. And I'll just picture myself, I'm holding down a little bass line, but I'll just picture, I'm just you, Jesus. I'll just picture myself with him. Amen? And it's worship because it's connected to your heart. Right? Clapping. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Clap your hands. Clapping. lifting your hands. I will sing, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands to you. These are postures and ways that we can worship God. It's okay to lift up your hands. It's okay to express your praises. It's okay to shout to God. It's okay. Sometimes I'm in my own car. That's my shouting time, quite honestly. Sometimes I'll be in my car when I'm by myself. And I'll shout, just go, God, you know, I'll just, whatever. You're by yourself. It's just you and Jesus. Honor God, right, for real. Right? How about the benefits? See, I went through those pretty quick. The benefits, first of all, worship, it crucifies your pride. You want to end your pride? Start to worship. Because now you're worshiping a God who's greater than you, and your reliance on Him, it crucifies your pride. Praise, you know what it does? It pushes out defeat. I'm going to go through these really quick. That pushes out defeat. Man, you can praise your way out of bondage. You can praise your way out of, you know, Paul and Silas were in prison at midnight. They were talking about how they were singing and praising, and God bust open the prison doors. And that's the same way with us. God can do a miracle. It's amazing what I've seen God do in a worship service. Nobody laid hands on them. Nobody touched them. Nobody did anything. And people have got healed. People have got a, I'll talk about it in a minute. Other things that just happened to people. Number three, worship restores your understanding of the right of your own right order. Hey, it's God, you first. It's you first. Number four, worship helps you die daily so that God is raised. You know, that's a good thing, right? And the first thing in the morning, you just give God honor. Go, God, I just worship you. You are the King. I'm your servant. I'm just your servant, God. Here I am. I'm, you know, just worship God. It helps you remember. Worship changes the spiritual climate. It can actually change the climate in the room. Worship attracts God's presence. John 5 says, Jesus said, God is looking for those who are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. He wants to see His people. So if something that happens, I can't really explain it. It's not like God is more present, but His presence is more tangible almost. When you start to worship, if something about that thing changes on the inside of you. It changes the spiritual climate. It attracts God's presence. It also, worship, it creates an environment to hear God's voice. Acts chapter 13 says this. It said, now the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, and Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manin, who was brought up in the house of Herod, and Saul. And watch this. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And so after they prayed and fasted, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. It's amazing how many times I've been worshiping God. I was worshiping God this morning out on our deck, and I was just kind of just worshiping God. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just worshiping God, and all of a sudden God dropped in and goes, all right, your next series is going to be on generosity. I want you to teach the people on generosity. I said, okay, Lord, we're going to teach you on generosity. So that's going to be our next series. But that all came even this morning. I wasn't thinking about it, wasn't planning on, you know, wasn't even praying God, I wasn't seeking God about it. Well, I was seeking God about it beforehand. But as I was, the answer came as I was worshiping God. As I was worshiping Him this morning out on our deck, it changed. And God spoke to me, rather. I want to teach just a little bit on this scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says this. Actually, I'm going to go up to verse 15. It's not on the screen. It's okay. It says, See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Interesting that he says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled. Don't be drunk. Don't be filled with wine, right? But be filled with your Spirit. So when you're drunk with wine, you're controlled by the alcohol, right? But when you're drunk, if you will, or filled with the Spirit, you're controlled by the Spirit, right? And then he tells us how. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. He says, do not be unwise, but be wise. And he says, be filled with the Spirit. And he says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we know what songs, right? Hymns, right? We know what those are, right? Those are kind of obvious, right? But then he says spiritual songs. And I want to touch on this just a little bit this morning. It says, and then it tells you like kind of what that is. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So did you know that you can sing and make up melodies in your own heart to God? You are not, listen, you don't have to be, you don't have to be on the worship team and to understand every bit of music to be able to speak in psalms, worship God with songs, hymns, and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can do it. What does that look like? You just make up your own tune. You know, make up your own tune. I do it by myself, mostly by myself, when I'm just by myself in my own personal time of worship. And it's just me and him. You know why? Because there ain't nobody else who wants to hear me sing. It's the truth. But God does. God likes my voice. God likes for me to sing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You're like, that's so weird, Dave. How do you do it? How'd you start? You know how I started? I went to the book of Psalms. And I went to a psalm. And I would take a psalm, and I would make up my own melody, and I would start singing that psalm. And I was making up my own melody. And I would read it. And I'm not going to sing it. Because it's private. Somebody said hallelujah. Is that you, Greg? You say hallelujah. Who said hallelujah? But, you know, it's true. But that's between me and God. Make up your own melody. And you know what? It's sweet. It's me and Jesus. It's me and God. And I'm just loving on God. Actually, you know who taught me that? Keith Moore. We're talking about Keith Moore today. He taught on that. He said, just go to Psalms. He said, go to Psalm. He goes, go to Psalms 150 and just start there and then go make up your own Psalms 151. And just sing it right out of your heart and whatever expression of God would. And it is right. I mean, it's just singing out of your heart to God. God, you're awesome. I worship you. And just you and Jesus. And you worship God. God, listen. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come up. Worship. Worship is one of the greatest. You want a way to plug into God? Worship. Worship. You and Jesus. You and Him. In your own time. In your own way. Please. Please, if you love country music, maybe your singing and making melody is country sounding, right? Maybe you like metal. That would be interesting. Sing and make that melody. Listen, there's not holy music and unholy music. It's you and God. Whatever you like, whatever you think, whatever your taste or whatever, sing and make melody to God. In your own heart to Him, right? And it may be country. You may sing opera. We'll leave that alone. It's good for you. Whatever. Listen, it's singing and making melody in your heart to God. But he says, sing to you psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He says, you want to be filled with God? What is he saying? What is Paul saying in Ephesians 5? You want to be filled with God? Really good way. It's Pentecost this morning. I didn't know if you know that. He says, if you want to be filled with God's Spirit, sing to Him with songs, hymns, and spiritual song. Are you feeling dry this morning? Sing to Him with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make a melody in your heart. singing and making melody in your heart to Him. And you know what? If you pray in tongues in this place, that's part of the spiritual tongues too as well. Just make up that melody and pray in your spiritual language to just you and Jesus, just caught with Him. The Bible says about tongues that is that we connect with God. That we it's a mystery, like as we pray that way. But God it's our direct line, I guess, to Him, if you will. I want to be filled with His presence, don't you? Let's everybody stand up. I want to be filled with Him. You know what? Maybe you've never done any of these outward expressions. And like I said before, the outward expressions are just that, outward expression. I heard somebody say one time, lift your heart before your hands. So true. But lift your heart this morning. For this last little bit, we're going to do one more song.
This is the story of a Son of God.
I want you to connect with these
hanging
words.
Hanging on a cross for me.
For me. I want you to connect with
them. But it ends with a bride and groom and a wedding by glassy sea.
That's a promise for us.
And oh, death, where is your sting?
Because
I'll be there singing.
Thank you.
the Lord Almighty.
You know, now's a really good chance to put into practice exactly what Pastor David was saying this morning. Everything that he's taught doesn't have to be in tune. It just has to be from the heart. Just a simple, you know, I love you, Jesus. Just find a place. I love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Whatever that thing is in your heart, I just want to encourage you, like, step out. Try something you've never done before. Break away from the holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. No doubt. When we cry holy, the walls of the temple, right, they shook. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But what you can say that, just like Pastor David said, it can just kind of not be anything. But it's your heart, the heart's cry that God's going to honor. So I just want to encourage you, just step out, just sing your praises, sing your own heart song this morning. Sing in tongues. Try something you've never done before. And just worship Him. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we sing praise. Oh, we sing praise.
Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy,
Jesus.
Holy,
lift up your voice.
Make us worshipers. make us people that seek after you. God, that we would put everything in right order. God, that we would eradicate pride out of our lives. God, that we would even hear your voice. God, as we worship you. God, I thank you. God, it's not just about corporate worship, together worship. But God, would you stir us up during our week while we're in the car? Maybe shut off the radio, God, and we would just worship you. You know, you're like, man, that just rattles off Terry's mouth, right? It's just like, you know why? Because Terry practices this alone when nobody else is around. That's true, right, Terry? Yeah. And it's for a word that's the only right word that conveys it is practice. She just does it on her own. And it's amazing how as you just worship, I will guarantee you the first few times if you do that, it is going to be awkward. Just want to be real, right? But I want to silence the voice of the enemy too. But I just challenge you, just sing and make melody in your own heart. Worship God. I found a great, and you come to me afterwards, and I'll tell you what it is. But I found a great, what do you call them now? You don't call them CDs anymore. Album still. And it's just instrumental music. And what I love about it is not music that I know. It's a bunch of instrumental music that I don't. And on there, it talks, and they've titled them on these. And my new thing is to listen to this music, and whatever that title is, one of them is Abba. And I think about God being my father. I think about God being my daddy, right? And through that whole song, I'm thinking about it as I'm praying, and I'm thinking about that as I'm thinking, God, you're my dad. God, thank you, God, that you're my father. God, that you're a better father than my earthly father could ever hope to be. God, you're just amazing, good father. And then one of them has to do with one of them has to do with solitude. And I think about whenever I hear that, when I think about them, just me and you, God. It's just me and you. And I'd go through there, and whatever that song's titled, through that whole song, I just meditate on whatever that title of that song is. And it's been rich times with God. But that's where, listen, it's not just Sunday when we plug in. And God invented these great things called earbuds. And they're wonderful. And it's like, God knows our busy lifestyle. I believe earbuds and noise-canceling things are a gift from God. Because I can put those on, and in a busy culture with a lot of noise, I can drown everything else out. Right? I can drown everything else out, and it's just me and God. Right? So I just want to challenge you this week. As you go through your week, let me put out that challenge as a pastor. Let me put that challenge out there. And like I said, it's not about your style. You be you. Don't be, you know, God made you an original. Don't die a copy. God made you an original. Worship God the way you worship God. Right? Out of your own expression. Out of your own heart. Don't copy anybody else. I don't want everybody to be Brian's. I don't want everybody to be Terry's. I want you to be you and worship God out of your own heart, right? And just try it. You'll like it. Amen. Let's close our eyes one more time. God, we honor you this morning. We look to you. We thank you, God, that you are good and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, God, that we can come into your courts with thanksgiving. We can come and praise. So, God, we do that. Help us even, maybe that's a good practice for some of us. Before you even pray, just make a list of thankful things that you are to God. Thank you, God. Maybe that's what it looks like for you. God, I thank you for this. And be on purpose. I thank you for my husband. I thank you for my wife. I thank you, God, for my kids. I thank you, God, that I have a roof over my head. There's many things that I can complain about, God, but I'm not going to complain about them right now. I'm going to talk about how many things that, God, you've given me. Thank you, God, for above all, God, I thank you for redemption. Thank you, God, that you purchased me with your own blood. And just start there, right? And you're like, that's not even good enough. That's not as good as, hey, it's your heart. It's good enough, right? It's coming out of your own heart. That's all we're asking. That's all God's asking, brethren. Amen. Amen. Were they going to play? They're going to sing Holy, Holy another one more time. Before you leave, I want you to say happy birthday to Denise. It is Denise's birthday. Back there, wave Denise. And I've known Denise a very long time. So, is your birthday? Whose birthday? Whose birthday tomorrow? Oh, Rick's birthday. Where's all the June birthdays? We're all June birthdays. I'm a June birthday. I'm a June birthday. Brian, you're a June birthday.
Tomorrow.
Brian's birthday tomorrow. I think there's a special level of anointing on people whose birthdays are in June. I'm just saying.
June is the best.
So. All right. I'm going to get my prayer people to come down over here.